Father, we never want to take prayer for granted or lightly. How important it is, Lord, for us to be still and to lift our hearts and our minds to you, our voices to you. Lord, so in this time of prayer, we ask, God, that you would speak into our hearts. As we open your word, we're excited to hear and to read the things that you want to teach us. I pray that we would see those things that you want us to see in the text. Pray that we would hear those things that we need to hear, Lord, and the things that we're going to share. But I pray right now that this time would be for you, that you would minister to us and through us. We thank you that we have hope, Lord. We have the hope of heaven, eternity with you. And we look forward to that time, certainly. But Lord, we're still here on earth, and there's still work to be done. So we pray that you would fill us to overflow with your Holy Spirit, empower us and enable us, God, to be Christians that live our faith out loud so that others know where we stand, so that others know what we believe in. And we believe in your word. We believe in your son, Jesus, our Savior, our Messiah. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is always with us, will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, we do pray that we would submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, that even in this world, the things that we want are not more important than the things that you want, God. So let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, this day and every day. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, we're talking about hope. We're believers. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you have been given the Holy Spirit, you are saved, and you've been given the hope of heaven, right? That hope isn't something we should keep to ourselves. That hope should be something that we share with others, and that's the title of today's message, is Sharing Your Hope. It's not something we should contain, and that's what we're seeing in Acts chapter 27. We're seeing the Apostle Paul displaying his hope in God, not in his circumstances, even in the midst of a storm. He's in the midst of a difficult situation, almost so bad that life is at stake. But yet he still has that hope, and that's something that we have to embrace in the days that we're living, the hope of heaven. We can never put our hope in anything in this world, right? If we do, it's temporary hope. It's not an assured hope. God is an assured hope. It's a hope of someone who's faithful. We sang it this morning. You are faithful, God, and faithful you will always be. Aren't you glad that God is always faithful? Aren't you glad that God doesn't change the rules every now and again? See, I like new things. I like rearranging rooms. I like doing things differently. My wife and I, we've been decorating for Christmas. I can't believe I'm saying this before Thanksgiving. But decorating a house for Christmas, because our nephews are coming. But I just love that freshening up and changing things. My wife does a great job of decorating. I made the one mistake 1 year. I'll never do it again, talking about Christmas decorations. That was the year we got so many decorations. It was like Santa's workshop. So it always looks beautiful. That I said you didn't do anything.
Yeah.
That was the mistake. Let's not talk about that. There's still a bit of disagreement on that story, as is every story in my life. But we're talking about hope. And again, if you truly have hope, heavenly hope, it's not something you can hold back. You're going to want to share that with someone. When we have a great experience, when we, you know, have a wonderful meal or go to a wonderful restaurant, we want to share that with other people. And we have the greatest relationship on earth is our relationship with Jesus Christ. We would want to share that with others. And we should all be doing that. And we should all be encouraged to do that, especially in the days that we're living. Biblical hope is not an escape from reality, right? I mean, it helps us get through the reality of life, but it's not an escape. It's not, hope in heaven isn't just, oh, let's kick back and enjoy our life. No, there's work to be done. It's a battle that we're fighting as believers. And that hope that God gives to us and strengthens us is so important. Real quickly, what we talked about last week is hope has results. We talked about, number one, it changes how we see ourselves. We realize that this world is not our home. This isn't our final destination. This short life that we've been given is nothing to be compared to what it's going to be like when we spend eternity with God. So it changes the way we see ourselves. It changes what we value. We don't value the things on earth. We're thankful for the things that God gives to us. We thank him for the blessings he gives to us. But our hope and encouragement is in him. Our value is in what's going to be, right? Store up your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust don't destroy. That's where things are going to last forever, not our kingdom here. And then finally, it affects what we do with our lives. And that's why I have you in Titus chapter 2. I didn't go there last week, but I just want to read, again, from a biblical perspective, what we as believers are supposed to be. As Paul writes to Titus, again in chapter 2, verse 1, says this, "But as for you, take it personally, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." Paul tells young Timothy as a pastor to speak truth, speak doctrine. He goes on, "That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things." If you ever get in a place in your life where you don't understand, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond? These are always great places to go. Thessalonians, Timothy and Titus. They're instructions for the church. They're instructions for believers, as husbands, as wives, as older men, as younger women. All these things are described for us, how we're to respond. And I just love that it wraps the whole thing up. It says, adorning the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. That the word of God would be our standard. That the word of God is your standard, no matter what this world does. And especially as we get closer and closer to the return of Jesus Christ, holding to the doctrines of the word of God are going to be more and more important. Because more and more, the world isn't going to want to be a part of it. We have to be faithful. I've said it for years, and even more now than ever, I feel like the church is even going to be under more attack. And you know what? I was talking with someone, I think it was on Wednesday night. I've always said it, you know, I hope I get thrown in prison for teaching the word of God. I want to sit next to a murderer and say, "What are you in for?" "I teach the Bible." See my tattoo? Well, I don't have a tattoo. Teaching the word of God. Sharing the word of God. Communicating the word of God. You know, it's our job as older men to instruct the younger men to be lovers of their wives. To be responsible in our lives. And that's what we need to do. And that's why I brought you to Titus. Because it affects how we act. And if you ever wonder how you're supposed to act, again, read those pastoral epistles. They're so filled with instruction and guidance. In the days that we're living, they're still true. We talked last week, as we began this chapter, that life is a journey, right? And Paul was on a journey. He didn't know it, but it was going to be going into a storm. And we talked about the storm, and we talked about his journey and his path. What was interesting, and we talked real briefly, we talked about this week that Paul was different than the other prisoners. He was different than the other criminals. He stood out. So much so it affected the captain of the ship. He had an affinity for Paul because we as believers are supposed to be different. We cannot be conformed to this world. We have to be different in the world that we're living in. Do people in your workplace, do people in your neighborhood know you're a Christian? Because they see you living your faith? How important that is. This next thing we saw, we had to trust in the Lord. Paul had to trust in the Lord. You know, Paul had told them, if we leave Fairhaven, we're going to be in trouble. And he got to say, I told you, you should have listened to me. But God encouraged the Apostle Paul so that he could encourage those on the ship. As a believer, it's our job to encourage each other, to be there for one another, to sit down and to talk. I know these days, again, I do a devotion with a group of people, and one of the guy's mom's on there, and she's always saying, I really need to get out there more often. I'm not really going out of my house much. And we're always encouraging her, pick up the phone. Pick up the phone and make a phone call to someone. Look for those connections to talk to people. You know, we were encouraged, this week we were encouraged to reach out to three people we hadn't talked to in a while just to make a connection. What a great thing to do. What a great thing to do each and every week. Connect with three different people that you haven't connected with in a while. When I first came here to Nashville to start the church, Brentwood, there was a gentleman that was such a dear friend of mine down in Florida. And every now and again, every month or 2 months, I would pick up the phone and call him. And I'm telling you, every time I'd call him, he goes, your timing is unbelievable. I was just thinking about you, or I'm going through this, and can you pray for me? It's amazing how God will use us if we put ourselves out there to be looking for those opportunities to connect with people and trusting the Lord. Twice in that first half of the text, Paul says, take heart, be encouraged. I don't know about you, but I need people in my life to tell me to take heart and to be encouraged. You know, as a pastor, you hear a lot of negative things. You hear about people's struggles and stresses. But every now and again, you hear about someone who's just walking and living for the Lord. And you just see the strength that they have because they're committed to Christ. What a beautiful thing that is. And that's what we're to be doing, trusting in him. So as we pick up in verse 27, and we look at the rest of this chapter, the rest of this storm, things are going to get heated up. But there's one last thing we want to see in this storm. Read with me in verse 27. Actually, let's back up to verse 26 because that's important. It says, however, Paul, after he told them that everything's going to be okay, however, we must run aground on a certain island. Now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day you have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival. Look at this. Since not a hair will fall from your head of any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all, we were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. So let's pause right there. We'll look at the last verses in a moment. So as this, we talked about it a little bit last week, spending a lot of time at sea, being tossed to and fro, not even knowing where they were. Couldn't see the stars, couldn't see the sun, it said, for many days. And even in verse 27, it says, it's been 14 days that they're just out there drifting, not knowing where they're going. And the reason I read verse 26 is because there's encouragement even in that verse. Notice it says, however, we must run aground on a certain island. There was a purpose that God had in store for that ship and specifically the Apostle Paul. But notice God doesn't give him all the details. I know this is important for us as believers. God, give us all the details, right? We want to know all the details. Lord, if you're going to call me to do something, I got to know how it's going to happen. Who's going to be there? What time of day? We want all the details. Sometimes God doesn't give us all the details. But I just want us to also think about, in the midst of this storm, God had a purpose. If this storm didn't come into this particular time, they would have gone straight to Rome and missed this opportunity. I want you to think about that for a minute. Something you may be going through right now, something we may all be going through right now, this pandemic could be something that God is using to get us where he wants us. And I'm not saying physically, I'm saying mentally and spiritually. God, you are getting us to a place where we rely more on you. Has that happened over these last 7-8 months in your life? That you've relied more on God than maybe your workplace or anything else? See, God allows something to happen in your life to slow you down, to get you to be where he wants you to be. I've said it many times. We've heard it many times. Blossom where God has you planted. Hey, this is Tennessee. I've been here long enough to hear enough stories where people going, we're just passing through. We don't know why God's got us here, but we're just here for a little bit of time, and then we're out. It's like, be blessed where God has you today. In that place, be blessed. Trust in the Lord. Be patient. I know that's not something we like to talk about at church, is being patient. But we need to be believers that are patient, especially in the times that we're living when everything is so fast-paced. Does this happen to you? When your internet service stops working? Or your cell phone doesn't work right? What is going on? I can sometimes, Scott, I know this happens to you all the time. Mr. Flip Phone over there. He's the only wise one, honestly. I'm trying to get some information. Maybe I'm studying for a search, and I'm trying to do a search, and all of a sudden the internet just stops working. It's amazing. I have to catch myself getting frustrated. I'm like, wow, if this isn't a first world problem, then I'm worried about that. It's amazing the things that we get frustrated with. You know, maybe even your children are frustrating you. You know, doing things you wish they wouldn't do. Maybe God's trying to get your attention in that. You never know what it is that's going on in your life that God is using and allowing that to teach us something. I think the Apostle Paul, in some senses, said, Lord, my life's in your hands, wherever you want to go. And it's just amazing to me that God tells him, you must go to a certain island. Now, I'm going to put it up there. I wasn't going to put it up till later. Do you see how small that island of Malta is? Do you see how big Italy is and Rome up there? You know, it's amazing that God's will was, I want you right there. Right? It wasn't on the shoreline. It had to be the hand of God that got them to that little island. Maybe we need to trust in that. Maybe we need to trust that God is doing things in your life, allowing things to happen in your life so he can get you in that one place that he wants you so that you will listen. You know, even this week, I was a bit frustrated, and I was like, Lord, what are you doing? But quickly I came to the place where I'm like, you're in control. You know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing, but that's okay. I know you know what you're doing. And that's where we must put our faith and trust, is in God. And I believe the Apostle Paul, having that promise from the angel, saying no life will be lost, he also knew we're going to go to a certain place God wanted us. Let the storms in your life take you where they need to take you. And trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. I mean, we're going to see it in the next chapter. The amazing blessings that God is going to bring. And they would have missed those had it been clear sailing. Do you ever think about the opportunities we miss? I do. I think about the opportunities I miss because I'm so focused on my will getting done or my agenda. And I'm like, what did I miss? What did God want me to do today that I missed? Let those storms take us where we want us or where God wants us. In verse 29, even though it says, and they prayed for the day to come, this is not, you know, they're just wishing for the daytime to come. You know, for us as believers, I think it's so important when we think about this, that we truly can spend time talking to God. Have you ever really thought about the power of prayer? The reality that we get to talk to God? I mean, they're just hoping that the sun will rise. Paul's spending time, one-on-one time with the Lord, and he's hearing his voice. And it's through prayer that God will speak into your situation, speak into your circumstances. Maybe God will share a verse with you. You know, last Wednesday when we were doing our Bible study, I just kind of sat back and was amazed at how many verses God had placed on different people in our Bible study as we're sharing and reading the Word of God. We're in 1 Peter. And it's like this person would share a verse, this person would share a verse. I mean, we're all over the Bible. That's the thing about a Bible study. God guides it and directs it. And it's through our time of praying, seeking God's heart. Lord, why am I going through this storm? What do you want me to do? Because God will speak to us and give us the hope that we need so that we can share it with others. Right? Sharing your hope. You have to receive it in order to share it. You have to believe that this is real in order for you to share it with someone else. If you don't believe that God is in control, if you don't believe that God knows what he's doing, then you're not going to be able to communicate that effectively. Verse 30, and as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship. Okay. Sailors were tough guys. Okay. This isn't like me going out on a ship. I'd be jumping overboard. I want out of this. These are sailors, hardcore sailors, and they want off that ship. That tells you how bad it was. That tells you how severe this storm was, that even the sailors wanted to get off. And the reality is, we got to sometimes realize, God, don't get me out of the storm until I've learned the lesson. Right? Because what happens if you get out of the storm before you learn the lesson? Another storm. We have to learn the lesson. So when we're praying and when we're asking God, I've said this a million times, I feel like a broken record, we don't ask God to take us out of the circumstances. We ask God to get us through the circumstances. Give us the strength that we need for what we're dealing with. I believe as the church moves forward at the end of this year and the beginning of next year, we need to be a people that are filled with faith and confidence in God. I think we need it more than ever. So I need you to encourage me. There's a lot of people out there that are be critical. There's a lot of people out there that are going to, you know, we're more divided in this country than ever before, right? We all know that now. But we need to stay the course as believers. Now is not the time to walk away from the Word. Now is the time to press into the Word of God and hear from God's heart. God, help us to be effective in the things that we're saying. When I think about the story of Solomon in the Bible, where remember those two women come and they're each saying that this baby was theirs? I just love the wisdom that God gave to Solomon. Cut the baby in half. We need that kind of wisdom. Not to cut babies in half, don't get me wrong. But we need that kind of wisdom from God to discern these times that we're living in, because I believe we're entering into a storm and we need to be sharp. And we just need to know the truth and be able to communicate that truth. Every time I hear from someone that says, I'm a little nervous or I'm a little scared or I don't know what's going to happen, I constantly bring them back, trust in the Lord. God's got this. Do you believe that? Do you believe God will get us through this? Yes, we do. He's faithful. He's not going to change things in the midst of this. He is just faithful to be there for us. So let's not try to escape. Let's try to press in and be a part of the work that God wants to do. Verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay on the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. I don't know if you noticed or not, but there's such a transition between we didn't pay attention to this prisoner, Paul, in the beginning, and now all of a sudden everything he says, they're listening to. Right? They want it off the ship. He's like, if you leave, no life will be saved. And they listen to him. Why? Because he's sharing hope. He's sharing encouragement. There's truth in the power of our words when we share the confidence that we have in God. And then verse 33, and as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day. You have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from your head of any of you. The Apostle Paul sees the fact it's been 2 weeks since anybody's eaten. And he shares, you need to take nourishment. I believe the Apostle Paul was sensing that the end was coming. And for 2 weeks, they hadn't eaten a thing. Has anybody ever fasted? Don't be afraid. Get your arm up there. Yeah, right? Have you ever fasted for 2 weeks? No. It's like, I'll fast lunch every other day, right? Paul's like, you all need nourishment, you need strength during this time. And what's amazing to me in verse 35, and when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. In the midst of this storm, as he's telling them to take food, what does Paul do? I think it's so important. He takes the food and he gives thanks to God. I'm submitting to all of us, he wasn't thankful for the food. He was thankful for God. He was thankful for the deliverance that he was assured would happen in his life. Listen to this. I heard this a couple weeks ago. I was listening to a message. Giving thanks after God answers is gratitude. Giving thanks before God answers is faith. Man, when I heard that, it just really convicted my heart. That truly we should be thankful for God before he answers our prayers. Because he says when we ask, you'll have what you receive, what you want. So to be thankful to God, and Paul is saying, here's the food, get nourishment, but let's be thankful to God that he's going to save us. I think, my friends, this is something that I'm trying to instill in my life, to be thankful for what God is going to do, not just only thankful for what God has already done. Talk about hope, talk about faith. If you're thanking God for the answer before it comes, I think that's so important. So important. Speaking of hair on a head, I thought about this verse. It says in Matthew, are not two sparrows sold for the copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from the Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. God knows you so intimately and so personally. He knows every hair, and he's numbered every hair on your head. And some of you have more hair than others. So it's easy for him to count mine. God knows you that intimately. And when I see the Apostle Paul say, since not a hair will fall from your head, I'm wondering if he's not remembering what Jesus said. Paul, your life is in my hands. Everything about you I'm in control of. Everything that you're going through, I'm there with you. Let's be reminded that God is with us, and he is going to get us through. And notice in verse 36, and they were all encouraged. Because what? Because of the Apostle Paul's faith, they were encouraged. I'm blessed. Excuse me. I'm blessed when someone reaches out to me, says, hey, can you be praying for me for a certain situation? I'm feeling a little uneasy. I'm sure of this decision, or my family members, or can you be praying for me? And I'll pray for them. And they're immediately encouraged. That's such an amazing thing. It's such a privilege that we can have, is to encourage other people by us praying to God by faith, believing God will answer. We got to have that kind of faith. You got to believe those types of things. There's people in your life that are looking to you to be that person that is steadfast in your faith, that is believing in God. It's contagious. I mean, I can imagine being around the Apostle Paul must have been an amazing thing. Must have been an amazing thing. I'll never forget this one men's conference. There was a pastor. He was going around praying for all the men in this. It was kind of a dinner conversation after a Bible study. And he would just go around and literally lay hands on men and be praying for them, prophesying. It was so encouraging. It literally felt like the Lord Jesus Christ was just there in our midst. We have that kind of power. Again, not that it's anything about us, but when we pray prayers of faith. You know, when I think about these sailors praying, I mean, they're just hoping, well, get us through this, I hope. That's not how we pray. We don't pray with that kind of hope. We pray with the hope of assurance that God is going to carry us through. That's the confidence that we have. Look with me in verse 39. We'll pick up. It says, when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed, read that again. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach. Bet they were glad to see a beach. Onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea, meanwhile loosing the rudder ropes. And they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas meet, which is a reef, they ran the ship aground. And the prow stuck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. The centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. Now, one life was lost. 276 lives, yeah, all made it safely. Just as the Apostle Paul said would happen. Just as God had shown the Apostle Paul, it did happen. God is faithful. And if we will truly listen to his voice, he'll speak to us. And he'll give us assurance. He'll help us navigate these times. He'll help us navigate any situation, anything that's going on in our lives. Anytime you feel like you're in a storm of hopelessness, God can give you that assurance that he's there with you. And I just love the fact that the Apostle Paul, as they end up on ground, get stuck, the ship breaks up, they all swim, the soldiers want to kill all the prisoners. But again, because of the character of the Apostle Paul, the impact that he had on the centurion said, no, don't kill anyone. We know the reason that the soldiers wanted to kill him. Because whatever was going to happen to those prisoners would happen to those soldiers if they lost one prisoner. And what's amazing to me is after going through all of that, those soldiers still were just trying to do their job. In the world that we live in, the world is just doing their job because they don't know any different. We know different. We know what God is going to accomplish. We know how this whole thing ends. And we just need to embrace it, enjoy the ride, because that's how God is going to get us through if we are putting our faith and trust completely in him. I want to talk about the storms. I'm going to close our service by talking about the storms that we have in life. There's four different kinds of storms that we have in our lives. The first one is a storm of correction. None of us like these. These storms of correction, we think of Jonah, right? When you think about a storm of correction, it's like everybody on that ship wanted to throw, what, they threw Jonah overboard and he gets up into the belly of a fish. Why was Jonah thrown off the boat? Because he wasn't obedient to God. And when we're not obedient to the Lord, sometimes God will allow a storm in our life to get us back on track. Storms of correction are not designed to destroy us. They're designed to get us back on track. Again, a storm that's very valuable and very important in our lives today is a storm of correction. Sometimes we're in a place of disobedience and rebellion, and we're not going the way God wants us to be, and a storm of correction will get us back on track. Number two is a storm of perfection, a storm of perfection. When Jesus fed the 5,000, right? Great ministry happened, amazing things, amazing miracle, you know, with all the food fragments left over from 5 loaves and 2 fish. And what was the very next thing that happened? They get on a boat, they go out into the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and what ends up? A storm. Sometimes God uses storms of perfection to make us realize this is not our home. Everything doesn't go our way, does it? Right? Doesn't always go the way we want it. But is it going the way God wants it? See, a storm happened in the disciples' life because they needed to be reminded that you're still living in the world. A storm of perfection that helps us realize the place that we're living in is not our home. The third one, a storm of protection. Storm of protection. We think about the flood, Noah and his family. The flood came, but Noah was safe inside that boat. He and his whole family. Sometimes God will allow storms of protection in our lives to help us make sure that our trust is in him and nothing else. Again, going back to the creature comforts that we have in this world, and if they're taken from us, are we still putting our trust in God? Sometimes storms come to remind us that God's in control and we are not. We're not here to build our kingdom, are we? We're here to build his kingdom first. And then lastly, and the one we're talking about here, maybe not, there it is, storms of direction. These are the ones that God uses to guide and direct us to where he wants us. God wanted Paul on the island of Malta. And had he not brought this storm, they would have never made it to Malta. So the reality is that sometimes storms are going to happen in your life so God can get you where he wants you, not where you want to. Even when we lose a job, even when something tragic happens in our lives, even when a pandemic hits, we can trust that God is using it to direct us. Let's learn the lessons that God gives us in the storms. Because every storm is different, and every storm shows us a quality and characteristic of God that he's trying to work in us. So the question is, how do you know what kind of storm you're in? Is it a storm of direction, or is it a storm of correction? Is it a storm of protection, or is it a storm of, what was the other one? Perfection. How do you know? Here's the thing about storms. God doesn't mind telling you about them. God doesn't put you in a storm and say, good luck. No, God puts you in a storm so that you'll look up. So that we'll ask him, Lord, is this a storm of correction, or is it a storm of direction? So we ask God, why is this storm happening? Why is this happening in my life? Why is this going on, Lord? You all know our church had a long year, or long years, 10 years, with our property over on Wilson Pike. And man, did we pray? I mean, this church prayed. I mean, to the point where I was so tired. Pastor Rob, what can we pray for you? Pray for our property. I mean, I get together with other Calvary Chapel pastors once a month, and I felt bad every time I'd come and say, pray for my property again. But you know what I realized? God wanted us to trust in him. God bless you. God wanted us as a church to put our complete trust in him. And now we're here, and what a blessing it is. We learn the lessons. We trust in the Lord. because he and he alone is the one that gets us through the storms. Realize the Lord is changing your direction because there's something he wants to do with you ultimately. He may be guiding you and putting a storm in your life so that you can reach that one person in your office, that one person in your neighborhood. Who knows how God doesn't work behind the scenes connecting people? There's people in my life that had I not listened or let God work in my life, that person would not be in my life. So look for those opportunities for God to show you what the storm is or what the direction is for your life. And then share the hope that God has given you, because there's always hope in God. There's always hope in Jesus. There's no hope in our government. There's no hope in this country. There's hope only in Jesus. That's where our trust has to be. Now more than ever, we got to get on our knees and be praying, God, fill us with wisdom. God, give us direction. Give us words to speak. And here, let's not look like those angry Christians. Let's look at like the joyful Christians that are so assured that God's got this, that we have joy in our hearts, right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's where it needs to come from. Yes, speak the truth, but he says speak the truth in a loving way. Do it so people receive it. We hold the truth. We know the hope that we have. We know how the whole thing ends. So let's be ready. Let's be equipped. And you might say, well, I don't know all about that. Well, number one, learn it. Number two, share the hope that you have. Even if it's a little, it's enough, because some people have no hope in this world that we're living in. We have the answer, and we have the hope that we can share to encourage people today. Don't miss an opportunity that God has for you. Father, we thank you so much for the storm the Apostle Paul went through. We thank you for the lessons that it teaches us. That when we stay closer to you, and when we listen to your voice, you will share with us the hope that we have and that hope that's in you. God, I pray for our church. I pray for everyone in the sound of my voice that, God, that they are being encouraged by you, that their hope is in you and you alone. We're thankful for the jobs that we still have. We're thankful for the families we still enjoy. And maybe there's some things that are going on in our world that are uncomfortable. But God, keep us safe. Give us that wisdom. Give us that discernment, God, to know how to navigate these times that we live in. Stir in us, Lord, a passion. Stir in us a commitment that is always available for you to use us. Your word says that we're to let our light so shine among men that they will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. May people be glorifying you, Lord, because of the things that we're doing, because of the things that we're trusting in. Let us be walking examples of your goodness, of your goodness, of your grace, and of your mercy. Thank you for this day. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.